Hey, I'm Josh Hallmark, and I want to thank you for listening to one of the Oaks podcasts. Remember this message from Isaiah chapter 61. God takes the seeds of brokenness and turns them into oaks of righteousness, and that's you.
Now, our series is called Clarity, Living Above the Haze, and here's the idea. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get our head above the waters of life. And much of life can be, if you're not careful, lived in the fog of war or a haziness of, or it's like you're on the hamster wheel and there's activity, but there's not intentionality. And so this series has been the first talk we talked about confusion and really just believing God to just blast confusion out of our lives, because God is not the author of confusion. And then last week we talked about reflection and how reflection is it's not an end in itself, but it's a very powerful step towards being intentional over your future, is thinking about your past and thinking about your life, just thinking about what's going on. So that's last week's, and I don't think we have those up online yet. We've had a computer issue that we're working on, but those will be online before too long if you need to catch up on those. But here's the verse that we've been using, and this is like a promise from God that we're believing for our lives. And I want you to say this with me, okay? The path of the righteous, one more time, let's say it together. Say it like God's actually going to do this in your life after you say it, okay? Because he is. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter till the full light of day. In other words, our future is getting brighter. Our future so bright we got to wear shades, right? It's getting brighter and brighter because we are walking in righteousness, and because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And so now, today's talk, I'm going to piggyback off reflection, but it's a slightly different slant to it. And before, I'm really trying to hold out before we get into the kind of planning vision stages for the new year, because that'll kind of be appropriate to where we are. This is really a time where reflection is appropriate. And today, before I tell you what I'm talking about, let me share a verse with you. Jesus, when he was teaching on prayer, he said, listen, you need to pray and keep on praying. He told a parable, the persistent widow, before he said this verse. And the whole parable of the persistent widow is what? It's to pray persistently. That was it. You know, he talks about this widow who went to this judge for justice. She went over and over and over and over. And the judge is finally like, okay, I'm going to give her what she's asking for, because she keeps asking. And that's what Jesus did when he taught on prayer. So when it comes to praying for your loved ones, like we were doing this morning, something happened this morning, but you can continue in faith saying, God, do it, do it, do it. I lift their name up before your throne. I ask when they come to mind, you can just lift their name up, because that's how Jesus taught us to pray. And at the end of that, though, Jesus says this statement that's very interesting. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And we've been talking some in this series about the haze or the fog, and we brought up the term the fog of war. And believe it or not, you are involved in a war. Now, the battle that we're in is not physical, the Bible says, but it's spiritual. And so the weapons we fight with are not carnal. That's what Paul said in King James. Carnal is your King James word. But they are spiritual. And so so we're fighting with spiritual weapons. Well, listen, one of the things that we're fighting for, one of the things that's in the balance, is your faith. Like, believe it or not, the enemy would love to take you out by taking your faith out. When John wrote his gospel, he tells all these stories about how Jesus healed people and how Jesus delivered people. And then in John chapter 20, he said, I told you all this so that you would believe in the Son of God. In other words, I told you this whole story so that I could inspire faith in you. So just say this with me. Say, my faith really is important to God. It's very important to God. So Jesus is saying, when the Son of Man returns, is he going to find faith at your house? Is the question. Because there is a battle for our faith. And bringing this back into the series, when we walk in faith, there is a certain level of clarity that comes to our lives and to our spirit. When we are in the haze of confusion, there is often fear and doubt that are mixed in with it. And when we walk in faith, faith empowers us to move forward in God. Faith is a big deal. In fact, it says in Mark that nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. That's a very, very powerful statement, isn't it? I think that's Mark chapter 16. Nothing is impossible to the person that believes. Say, that's me. So when we believe God, this is how the kingdom operates. When there is faith involved, faith changes the course of history and the course of our own destiny. And so when we're talking about our path being clearer and clearer, faith is a clarifying agent. And that's why the devil is fighting for your faith. Now, faith is not my topic today, but I just wanted you to know this, is that faith is what's in the balance in this battle. And so we fight with faith. And the topic that I want to share today, so I said all this year what my topic is, because the reason that I'm talking about what I'm talking about today is so that it will inspire faith in you to believe God to move forward in your life, okay? So my talk today is called testimony. It is the topic of testimony. Your testimony is your story in God, okay? That's your testimony. Can somebody testify up in here? Your testimony, it has to do with what God has done in your life. And what I want to share with you today is that it's not just your testimony, but you can actually piggyback off others' testimony. Let me share this verse with you. This is in Deuteronomy 29, 29. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord. In other words, things we don't know about, they belong to God. But the things revealed belong to us and our children forever. Now, this was written to the children of Israel. But basically what he's saying is the things that God has revealed or the things that God has done, there's a lasting impact. And one of the first times I ever heard Bill Johnson speak, he shared this verse. And basically his premise is that anything that God has ever done on behalf of anybody belongs to us. The things revealed belong to us and our children, say my children, forever. All right? There's a very similar statement when the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit falls. They start speaking in tongues, prophesying. Like, what is this? What does this mean? And Peter said, oh, this is the promise of the Father. And this promise belongs to you and your children, as many as God shall call. There's an extension. This is not for now. This is forever. And for everyone. And so anyway, the cool thing is the things that you see happening in Scripture, you can believe for your own life. So first, I've got 4 points. All right, you ready? Number one is your testimony, your story in God belongs to you. And what God has done in your life in the past, I want you to think for just a moment. Like, do you guys remember when David fought Goliath? Does anybody remember the conversation that David was having with Goliath? When he stood before Goliath, does anyone remember what he was talking about? what he was thinking about? He was thinking about the lion and the bear because he loved the story of Noah. I'm just kidding. I'm just confusing everyone. No, actually, what had happened when David was a boy, well, he was a boy at this time. He was a young man. He was a teenager or something. David had been keeping his sheep, and a lion came to attack the sheep. And guess what he did? He put it in the, you know, the San Francisco Zoo, right? No, he didn't. Oh my goodness, man, David would be like on the news now, wouldn't he, for killing the lion? Well, that's what he did. He killed that bad boy. The lion was attacking his sheep, and he did not shoot it with a tranquilizer. He killed the lion. He protected his sheep. Lion's dead. David testimony. Oh, but here's the cool thing. David recognized that that lion was bigger than him. Especially, imagine a kid or a very young person killing a lion, protecting his sheep. He's doing his job, what he's supposed to do. There's an overwhelming circumstance, and he's able to handle it. And the way David said it is, the Lord delivered the lion into my hands. There was another instance where a bear came along, and same thing. David did not say, high five, Smokey. No, he killed the bear. And I don't know how big the bear was. I don't know what kind of bears were in that part of the world, but David killed it. And pretty much any bear seems kind of scary a little bit. They're pretty strong and they're pretty fast, right? And I would say to a human child, boy, maybe teenager, a bear would be an intimidating thing. But he had a testimony. God delivered the lion into his hands. And guess what else God could deliver? The bear. And he did. That, listen, your testimony is setting you up for your destiny. But it's not, it's your testimony, but it's really his testimony. It is the testimony of Jesus working in your life that has given you the victory. And that's what happened for David. David killed the lion. David killed the bear. Now he's standing before the greatest challenge that he has faced in all his life. And the faith, do you guys understand that for 40 days, Goliath had been marching back and forth, taunting the armies of Israel, saying, you guys stink, basically. And he was probably using some other words. And David said, what's up with this uncircumcised Philistine? And, you know, that was a cut down, right? And he says, it's like the equivalent of a mama joke. I'm just kidding. But anyway, he's like, this guy doesn't even fear God, is basically what he's saying. He doesn't even fear God. He's not living for God. And David's like, who's going to do something about this? Well, David decides to. Did you know that your testimony creates clarity in your present? And what happened with David is he was very decided. After 40 days of nobody on Israel's side knowing what to do, there is no answer. They were wringing their hands about what to do in this circumstance. David steps in with faith, and there is movement. And that's why faith is so important in our lives as we move forward. It creates, there's a clarifying effect that faith has. And David stood in front of, what's his name? Goliath. And David said, listen, God delivered the bear into my hands. God delivered the lion into my hands. And God is going to deliver you into my hands, big boy. And that's what he did. David took his stone, sunk it into Goliath's head. Goliath died. And then David runs over, grabs his sword, cuts his head off. Isn't that awesome? Let me just say something. I'm going to show you how much David was moving in faith. David cut Goliath's head off. That's the biggest thing of his whole life. He was already thinking about the next thing that he was going to do. Do you know what he did? He grabbed the head and he runs over to the Jebusite stronghold. And at the Jebusite stronghold, he puts the head of Goliath. And you're like, what is the significance of that? That was the only place at that time that Israel had not conquered. And David put it over there. And guess what city? Whoo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Guess what city was in that Jebusite stronghold? It was Jerusalem. And it was the place David, a kid, is now moving in faith, and something happens. He cuts Goliath's head off, and he takes the momentum of the testimony of what God had done. I'm talking one testimony rolling on top of another testimony, on top of another testimony, and David grabs the head and runs over to the Jebusite stronghold, and basically what he was saying is, you're next. Now, does anybody know where David relocated his kingdom once he became king? The new capital of Israel was not Shiloh or some other place, but it was Jerusalem. And they say, listen, they say, I heard when I was at YOM, somebody told me they did a study on this, that his dad did his dissertation, that Jerusalem is the geographical center of the earth. I don't know if that's true, but I thought that was very interesting. Jerusalem is a very special city. And David used the power of a testimony to say next. So he was looking to the past. He was grabbing the momentum of what God had done. Now, here's the thing. What if David had not given God credit for the bear or the lion? What if he forgot? What if he forgot about it? Do you guys realize how many things we forget that God had done? That's why I'm such a proponent of writing things down, because we have a propensity to forget. David wrote things, by the way. He wrote the Psalms. He wrote a lot of those. Those are the stories of victory, right? Anyway, or a lot of them are. So my story belongs to me, the things that God has done for you. I want you to think about it. Like, I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about times where Ginger and me, that if something supernatural didn't happen, the money was gone. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you feeling me? And this is what we have to do. They said, oh, that's happened before. Now, I'm not saying walk in presumption, but I'm saying, God, I tithe. That's what I'm saying. Lord, do you see this? I need some help. And I do not mind asking the Lord for help. And then somehow we make it through, and it happens again. And over time, it becomes like the lion and the bear, that God supernaturally does things in our life because we're walking by faith. And I'm not saying go buy your new Chevy on faith. God is not necessarily endorsing stupidity, but I'm going to tell you something. He will respond to faith in your life. And let me tell you something. Even if you made a mistake, if you'll walk in faith now, God will make it better. He'll fix our messes. He really will. I'm not endorsing messes, because there's a price to pay for messes. But at the same time, God, I just want to get you, no matter how you got where you are, believe God's done it before, he'll do it again. So your own personal stories in God can prophesy your future. Your stories in God can they speak, just like David took the head. He was speaking to his future. Now, it would be years before he saw that, right? Because at first, he was just serving Saul. He was not, but there was something in his heart that saw, that's where I want to go. And that's why he took that head over there. Some of you guys, you need to take Goliath's head and you need to point it at the Jebusite stronghold. And you might say, there's a mountain of debt over here, and I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, but God, help me pay this thing off right here. Let's swing that over there, right? Here's the head. You're next. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Or this morning, you're the swinging head. God got me saved. I'm bringing it over in front of my sibling that, you know, does not know the Lord. I'm saying, you're next. You're taking what God has done in you, and you're using it for faith to believe that God will do it again. Say this with me. God will do it again. Do you believe that? Yes, let's say it again. Say, God will do it again. See, that's the power of our testimony. Now, guess what? Your story belongs to you, but guess what else? Or wait, what did I say? My story belongs to me. I have to get in the right tense here. My story belongs to me. Also, your story belongs to me. How many of you guys know that the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons? In other words, he won't do for you and then not be willing to do for me. Now, we each have our own journey, our own context with God. So I'm not grabbing somebody's testimony to twist God's arm saying, do it for me. But at the same time, when it comes to the realm of faith, when you see that God has done something in someone else's life, you can have that. Why? Because the things that God has revealed, another way, how God has revealed himself or displayed himself, you can grab that. That's fair game. Fair game. Grab hold of it and say, yes, for me too, Lord. Say this with me. Say, me too, Lord. Me too, Lord. Did you know, and this is the neat thing, bringing it back to Bill Johnson, one thing he began to discover is when they would share testimonies about God healing people in services, like God heals people, then people would start getting healed of those same things. Isn't that fascinating? Because your testimony can not just prophesy into your future, but your testimony can prophesy into my future. That's why it's so important to reflect on what God has done and talk about it. Because your testimony is actually you giving a voice to what God has done in your past. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. So look at your neighbor and just say, hey, guess what? The things that God has done in your life belong to me too. And my children. Is that a good word? Some of you didn't even have kids yet. Go ahead and grab a hold of it. David didn't have Jerusalem yet, but he saw it by faith, right? And so, check this. This is Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. The testimony of Jesus. What does that mean? The stuff Jesus does. The word about who he is. So if I told you a story about how God did something in my life, can I take credit for that? It's really not my testimony. It is my testimony. It's really the testimony of Christ, right? And what he's done. And what I'm saying is the testimony of Jesus in my life, it belongs to you. And guess what kind of nature a testimony has? The testimony of Jesus. What does it have? What's embedded in it? What's it like? It's like the spirit of prophecy. You ever heard of a self-fulfilling prophecy? I just wonder if some of us are testifying about the wrong things. The testimony of the devil in our life is prophesying to our future. That's not what we want, by the way, right? Listen, let's don't even worry about him, okay? The devil's overrated, right? He's all bark. The only bite he has is the faith that you put in his bite. He really doesn't have a bite. He's been defeated already. And so let's look at the testimony of Jesus and look at it prophesying. The testimony of Jesus in me, the testimony of Jesus in you. Do you get it? My testimonies. Wait, look at your neighbor again. I want you to see this real quick just to separate it. Say my testimony about what God has done in me belongs to me. Now look at your neighbor and say his testimony or her testimony about what God has done in her or him also belongs to me. Now I'm going to take it even further, okay? Watch this. Their story belongs to me. Who is they? It's not just the person beside you. It's not just your contemporaries who are alive right now talking about what God has done. But anything God has done in the past belongs to you. And this is demonstrated so much in the Bible. Here's the verse we shared already. the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that reveal belong to us and the Lord forever. Do you guys realize that when you look at the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there's this increasing level. It's funny that it ends with Revelation, because there's an increasing level of revelation about who God is as the story progresses. Genesis, it begins there. Genesis means beginning. It really is a story that gets brighter and brighter, kind of like the path of the righteous. Well, in history, God is revealing himself in broader and broader ways. Paul understood things about God that nobody had understood before because they were secret, Paul said. But now they're revealed. And so here's the thing. The level of revelation that God has given from the beginning up until now, guess who it belongs to? It belongs to us and our children forever. This thing is growing, people. The Bible says the increase of his government will have no end. It's getting better and bigger and brighter and greater every day. That's the testimony that we have. So we have our testimony. We have our neighbor's testimony. But we can also dig back into the past and grab hold of the testimony of anything that God did on anybody's behalf in Scripture. And here's the thing. This is not some obscure thought that I had, but when you read the Bible again and again and again, you have people in a present tense situation citing what God had done for people in the past to bring it into their now. And so that's exactly what we do. When we read a story in the Bible, we see what God did on somebody's behalf then. Peter was in prison and an angel came in and took the chains off and led him out of prison. That happened for him. That could happen for me. Do you see what I'm saying? And I don't mean in a metaphorical way. I'm saying God can do whatever he did. And Jesus said, not only the things that you see me do, but greater things will you do. So even more than that. So the things that God has revealed belong to, once God pulls that out of secret into revelation, it's fair game. Listen to this verse right here, and this is exactly the context of what I'm talking about. Psalm 77, verse 11. I think this is a psalm of Asaph. He was feeling down. He was feeling distraught at his situation. He literally was saying, man, things are just not going well for me right now. And then it's all of a sudden he complains for a couple minutes, and then he gets to this verse, and he's like, oh, I will what? I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. This is Asaph living in a time where this is, I guess he was a contemporary of David. I don't actually know exactly when he was alive. But he goes on after this verse and starts talking about how God led the children of Egypt. This was hundreds of years before him, before he wrote this. He say hundreds. I just want you to understand that hundreds of years old of testimony is still live, and it's alive for you. What God did, it just seems, well, that was 100 years ago. That was 1,000 years ago. Guess what? Jesus died 2,000 years ago, and it's legit for you today. So you can even keep going backwards to anything that God has done and revealed. And this is exactly what he was doing in this psalm, as he said, I will remember the works of the Lord. And then he started talking about how God led Israel out of Egypt. Say their testimony belongs to me. Isn't this cool? Do you guys feel like there's a buffet sitting in front of you to believe God to do something on your situation? When you read the Bible and you're having your quiet time or something like that, and you're reading and you hear about what God did for somebody, you can say, come on, Jesus, that belongs to me too. I'm going to actually take my faith and I'm going to bring that testimony and let it prophesy my future. The testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy, declaring it forward. Amen? Man, this is getting good, you guys. So, where did I get to? One thing I do. Oh, okay. This is the last part. This is point number four. You ready? Point number four is not every story, because I just pulled out the whole buffet, right? And you're like, it's all mine. But here's the fine print, okay? You can have anything that God's ever done, but here's one thing that you can't have. You ready for it? Suspense, pregnant pause. That's a speaker's term. You feel it? All right. Paul said this, Philippians 3:13. One thing I do is I forget what is behind, and I'm straining towards what is ahead. Guess what does not belong to you forever? Your junk, your sin, your mistakes. You do not have the luxury of dwelling on the past as is represented by the devil or the stuff that he does. You know why? That doesn't belong to you. The Bible says when we gave our life to Christ, all things became new. There became this divide. In fact, the Bible says the old man is dead, buried with Christ in baptism. So guess what? Your sins, you're like, I'm such a bad person. I've just messed it up beyond what can be fixed. And I'm like, nay, no. Mm-mm. Paul's like, listen, there's some things that don't work out so well. Okay, those things I don't have access to. Here's the one thing that I do. One thing, say one thing. Pretty important if he says one thing. I mean, he could have been like one thing of many, I don't know, but I think this is a pretty important thing that he did. I forget what's behind and I strain towards the future. So let me just say this. Your testimonies, bring them into your future. Bring them into your now and into your future. Your neighbor's testimony, bring that into your now and into your future. And there, meaning all of the family of God and anything God's done for any of the family throughout all of history, grab that, bring it up. But our past sins and our past mistakes, you've heard it before, God, he put it in the bottom of the sea and put a sign that said no fishing here. So you're going to have to move on. So that junk, you got to leave behind. And let me just tell you, it is a sin, I believe, to ask God to forgive you, to repent of sin and walk away, and then continue to live like that was true. Because that's old and it's dead. And Paul talks in Corinthians about all these different sins that aren't good, that aren't, they're not okay. And he says, he talks about just naming a whole laundry list of sin. And he says, such some of you were. Say were. But now you belong to Christ. In other words, there's a delineation toward your old life. And let me just say this. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord. After a time, I started thinking that there were times where I'd hear a song or something like that, and it would bring up a memory of my old life. And guess what? That doesn't belong to you. Let it go and move forward, right? Amen. So today is a new day, because guess what you got? You got the future, and you got your testimonies about what God has done. And there's some junk in the past, and I don't know what all Paul's talking about when he's talking about what was behind, but I'm assuming, just in a lot of other scriptures, that it was not the testimony of Jesus that he was saying leave behind, right? You with me? It was things that happened, and things do happen. Everything's not great. Everything's not cheery. But listen, it does not bring clarity into your life by just continually bringing your past issues into your future. The things that happened are in the past. They're over. Now what you've got to do is you've got to move on in faith. And that's where we're ending today. Say it with me. Move on in faith. And guess what's possible? Anything. This is a great day. You guys, you got some good gospel news today at church. Now, we're going to do a little a quick little exercise. And I've got a couple guys that are going to hand some stuff out for me. And guess what it is? It is your own little sheet. We're going to take a couple minutes, and we're going to think about our lion and our bear. All right? Does everybody have a pen accessible to you, in front of you? So, you guys, we all have things that we want to see God do and break through. And we have things that we're contending for that hadn't happened yet. But that's not what we want to feed on. And going back to the thing that Bill Johnson said that time, this is a long time ago, but I think he still says this stuff a lot. He says, I contend for what I have not seen God do yet in my life. So I'm fighting for that. But I feast my soul on what God has done. Because when I feed on the lack, that's going to produce lack in me. But when I feed on what God has done, it prophesies to my future. And so let me just say, as a clarifying idea, when you think about what God has done, it's actually setting you up for a greater victory. The lion, the bear, the head, the Jebusite stronghold. Amen. So let's take just a couple minutes, and I want you to just think, if you need to, start with January, say about a year ago, and think, okay, in the last 12 months, it doesn't have to be 12 months, but this is a good start. In the last 12 months, what has God done? What are there some things that have happened? And for some of you guys, you might have thought that you killed the bear, but today would be a good day to clarify, oh, that was actually the Lord helping me in that situation. Because it's a lot better when he's present, right? And we want to give God credit for the things he does. Our family was doing this morning, and one thing we were talking about was Asher, our oldest son. In January of last year, we were talking about our goals for the future, and he said for the new year, and he just really wanted to make All-Stars, and he wanted to be on a travel baseball team. And that was like something. He began to pray about the team he was going to be on in the spring, and it's just something that he wanted to do, and he worked hard. He and Elisha would get out in the yard about every day. But it's something he invited God into. He prayed, and he got on the perfect team. It was really, really, it was not just that they were good, but it was just a sweet team. It was a college student, was the head coach, and I was able to help. But it was just a lot of, the Lord was just all over it. And I love the thought, but Asher actually got on All-Stars and took our whole family on a journey this summer of travel and stuff. But as a result of that, he was invited to play on a travel baseball team. And, you know, and I was just thinking, in the eyes of a kid, this is big stuff for him. And I know for us, you know, it was a commitment for all of us. So, but what we thought, it's easy to look at our current situation and just think, man, life's hard right now. But somehow this morning we were doing that. We were just talking about it. We included Asher in on it. We're like, that's something the Lord did, Asher. It was something you prayed about, and then you worked hard on, but there was a cooperation between you and God, and you did that. So instead of just thinking about the thing that he doesn't have, which is one of those little new things you ride on, what do you call it, a hoverboard? Instead of dwelling on that, the things that they're exploding under kids' feet, is what we've heard. Anyway, have you guys seen them in your neighborhood? What are they called? Segways, yeah, or Swagway or something. There's a different, slightly different name for them. But anyway, instead of thinking about that, let's think, or what you don't have, instead of your lack, so I'm saying, think about what the Lord has done. And for the church, you know, I'm excited about where God is going in the future and some things I would love to see happening now. But we started thinking about this time last year, I don't think we even knew that we were going to have this building. And like in the last year, God gave us a place to start the church. We had been looking for like a whole year for a venue. Were we meeting at the loft this time last year, Ginger? We were still meeting at the Hispanic church this time last year, saying we're wanting to plant a new church. We have this group of people. We want to plant a new church, but we don't have a place. And now we're sitting here. Not only that, I just started thinking this morning about we're here. There's amazing people that God has brought. He brought the lion and the bear in a good sense. Nobody's trying to kill you. I mean, God has brought this amazing group. Look around for a second. Let me just brag on you for 1 second. Just look around. There's really some amazing people that are here this morning. You're here. It's a testimony of what the Lord has done. You know what else I was thinking about? Just testimonies. In the past year, a year ago, we didn't even know we were going to be here. In the past year, I was just thinking about moments that we've had, like this morning when we were praying for our families. You multiply that time several times where the Lord has just shown up and done something special in a service. I'm like, oh, not only we started church, not only are there awesome people that are here, but God is meeting with us. He's like impacting our lives. Like, do you guys realize the God of heaven like meets with us here? I'm like, dude, I'm feeling better about what God's got for the future already, just saying that. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, I want you to think right now for just a second, what has the Lord done? Maybe try to go for about 3 things at least.
For more information about The Oaks, visit theoaks.org. Thanks for listening.